Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. For people who can handle the truth. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button, and you will see a list of the guests together with links to their websites. For questions or comments during the program, email spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna at spingola.com. But I don't look at that email, excuse me, during the program. Excuse me, I'm sorry. My allergies are kicking up this morning. If you wish to contribute to the RBN Pledge Drive, just call 800-724-2719. You may support RBN in other methods. You can purchase products from the RBN website, including business cards and bumper stickers, or by subscribing to the archives at a higher rate than the usual, $1.33 per month, or you can purchase some advertising. If you happen to have a product or service to sell, you can do this by calling 800-724-2719 or going to republicbroadcasting.org. Now, republicbroadcasting.org has a lot of things on the front page that you really need to be looking at. There are several categories. You just scroll down. They've got a lot of things that you can read. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource. It isn't just, about the programming. There's a lot of other things that you need to look at also. I have received some emails concerning an announcement made by another host that RBN is moving his show to the 11 to 2 time slot, that central time. RBN is making some changes and is offering more options to our listeners. My program will remain in the same time slot. Okay, today my guest is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is nazigassings.com. Welcome to the program, Fritz.
Oh, Deanna, nice to hear you again.
Well, it's nice to hear you too. And we already have an email question from somebody that was up very, very early this morning, and we'll maybe catch those right after we come back from the break. But he has some very interesting questions. So are you ready to perhaps have a debate in June?
Yes. Do we have a potential debater?
Yes, we do. Apparently he attempted to email you, and your email was full.
Okay.
So anyway, he emailed me, and I will attempt to forward that to you. But yes, we do have a potential debater, which would be nice.
Okay, sure.
All righty. What have you been working on just recently?
Well, I've been challenging various people to debate without any real success, because I think people are genuinely afraid of touching the subject, especially my area of specialty, which is or are the alleged gas chambers that the Nazis supposedly used to commit mass murder. I challenged Mark Weber at the Institute for Historical Review, and he backed away completely. I challenged Michael Shermer, and backed away also.
And right. I emailed them both, and they both responded in the negative.
Right, right. And I think we're going to see much more of that. But all that does is confirm how weak, to put it mildly, the case for the alleged gassings really is. I think more and more people know that that particular part of the Holocaust story is absolutely today.
All righty. Fritz, we do have to cut to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Okay.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
If you are a vendor dealer who sells any equipment or service that costs more than $15,000, we can help you make the sale through our low-cost lease finance programs. We are good in all 50 states, including Canada, and we have a very wide credit window. Call Bob New today at 888-639-2621 and let us explain in more detail how we can help you make more sales. Call Bob New today, 888-639-2621.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Today is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is NaziGassings.com. And we'll take calls in the second hour at 800-313-9443. Fritz, shall we just kind of jump to those questions, those email questions?
Sure, go ahead.
All righty. Since he got up so early, okay. Number one, and this is from Al. Number one. In Cambodia, there are many mass graves dating from the mid-70s. After heavy rains, bone fragments are found on the surface. These fragments are either collected or kept in their place as monuments. Are similar things occurring all over what was at one time Nazi Germany?
Well, that's not true at all. Nothing like that has ever occurred, either even in Nazi Germany, or to my knowledge, even in Poland or eastern areas of the Soviet Union. So you might have expected something like that to occur, but to my knowledge, it has never occurred. Although, inevitably, when you have heavy flooding and rainfall, cemeteries tend to yield the remains of people who were buried there. But anyway, I don't see any real connection to the Cambodia situation with Nazi Germany.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the incident that he describes in Cambodia is not comparable to what is in Europe.
Not to my knowledge at all. I've never even heard of bodies being washed up in connection with the Holocaust or World War II. I'm sure bodies must have come to the surface, but it's never become noticeable to me.
Okay, so you... All righty. Okay, number two. Question number two. It's very interesting. And he apologized. He said, Deanna, no vulgarity was intended with this. Sorry if your sensibilities are challenged. But the question is, images of men who we are told had died in the Holocaust seem to reveal that most of them were uncircumcised. Have you any thoughts on this? And he supplied a link to an image of dead men. The one man whose genitals we can see seems to have been an adjusted picture. Having done a program or two on circumcision with a red face most of the 2 hours, it's okay. Al, it's all right. Okay. Your thoughts on that?
And the question is, I don't know. I've never looked at any pictures like that. I may have inadvertently seen some pictures like that, but I can't remember even one of them. So I have no comment. Many people who died in the concentration camps, and that includes Bergen-Belsen, where most of the people who died were not even Jewish. So it would be only normal to find that if one did have pictures of the genitalia of the men or some of the men who died in Bergen-Belsen, that most of them would not be circumcised.
Okay. All righty. Okay, another comment from an email. Could you please ask him to check his audio connection? Sounds like it may be clipping a little, perhaps a bad Skype connection or limited bandwidth, yada yada, or I'm not supposed to say that anymore, et cetera, or low batteries in a headset. Anyway, I'm not sure what phone you're on, but in previous programs, I think we've had better audio. So did you change your phone?
I haven't changed it. I'm just using a regular telephone line at this moment. I'll put my mouth a little closer to the receiver, and maybe that'll help.
Okay.
I hope so.
All righty. We'll see how it goes from there. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate your comment. All righty. So you have been challenging a lot of people to a debate on several lists that you happen to be on, and you've not had any takers at all.
Except for Roberto Muhlenkamp.
That's the individual that that emailed me and said that he would be up for debate.
Right.
So we will arrange that.
Good.
Okay. All righty. I'm just reading some other messages here. All right. Your website, nazigassings.com. And people can email you. What additions have you added? Have you added anything?
Recently?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, recently I did add a short essay to the top column right, and I'll switch to it right now, in which I talk about another hoax that preceded the Holocaust hoax. And that's very, very important to understanding how the Holocaust hoax was perpetrated. Americans in general, already in the 1930s, were being given all kinds of propaganda about how gas chambers used in America for executing prisoners were some sort of a step forward in terms of less pain and suffering and so forth for the victims. The propaganda said very clearly that these people were going to die rather quickly and that it was rather painless. But that was simply not true. The only reason gas chamber executions in the United States could ever be painless or relatively painless was if the prisoner cooperated with the execution process. That is rarely explained, or at least wasn't explained until rather recently. Today, one can look at almost countless YouTube videos with the testimony of prison wardens describing the actual gas chamber execution process and how it worked on various prisoners and so forth. And they generally all make it clear, although not everyone, I suppose, that the prisoner was encouraged, persuaded, to try to take a big, deep breath on a signal from the prison warden. The prison warden would be watching the prisoner in the gas chamber, and after the cyanide salt eggs were dropped into the acid bath, the cyanide would rise out of that pot. And as the cyanide gas would rise, one could more or less see it through the sort of veiled vibrations in the air. And one could tell roughly when the top of this cloud of cyanide gas would reach the prisoner's nostrils. At that time, the prisoner would be encouraged to take one really big, deep breath. And if he did that right, he could actually inhale a lethal dose of cyanide into his lungs and lose consciousness rather quickly and die in about 5 minutes. But, not all prisoners would cooperate like this. And most, in fact, seem to have resisted. They would take a deep breath before the warden could give his signal, and then try to hold their breath as long as possible. And when they did breathe, they would only take very short breaths. In other words, they would take breaths of fresh air or relatively fresh air that would have a less than lethal concentration of cyanide. And the executions of those prisoners who resisted would tend to be horrors for the witnesses of these executions. And that was generally kept from the public. The public was encouraged to believe that cyanide gas chamber executions were either instantaneous or almost instantaneous and either painless or very nearly painless. The public was lied to. And the reason they did this was because the executioners, the prison wardens, the states, wanted to have executions. Hangings were a horrible, horrible, horrible spectacle. And people who would witness hangings would, in many cases, be absolutely freaked out by what they would see and would, you know, speak out against hangings and executions and so forth. So if one was going to have a death penalty at all, one had to fool the public into believing that somehow one had an execution process with gassings that was humane, okay? That was the expression that was often used, that gas chamber executions were somehow humane and almost easy and quick and so forth. And these stories were simply lies. Today there are records of many, many gas chamber executions, and a great many of them were horribly botched-type executions. Now, it was not because the process was somehow flawed, but because the prisoners wouldn't cooperate. If one had used these same methods, or even remotely similar methods for gassing thousands of Jews, one would have had to have these thousands of Jews cooperate in their own executions.
Okay, Fritz, hold that thought. That is very profound. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Heart Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and super male and femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA survival course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
And we are back. My guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is NaziGassings.com. And I believe they did. Dan did a little magic during the break, and the audio might be better. But you were talking about the fact that the alleged victims, Jewish victims, of these gas chambers would not cooperate with their own death. And in fact, wouldn't they have broken the window or just plain opened the door and left?
Well, they would have tried. That's very reasonable. Even if one had persuaded the Jews to take deep breaths at precise times when the gas might get to them, as a practical matter, it would have been totally unmanageable because the gas from Zyklon B rises only gradually. There was no ventilation or air circulation going on at the time of these alleged gassings. So the gas would have sort of meandered its way through the alleged gas chamber. Some people would have been exposed to lethal concentrations sooner than others, others much later. You couldn't possibly have even given the kind of encouragement or signals to the intended victims that one would have needed. Now, one of the things about cyanide that's really horrible is that it's not a very pleasant gas once you start inhaling it. Carbon monoxide, by contrast, is very seductive. You can breathe very lethal concentrations of carbon monoxide
which was also supposedly used by the Germans or Nazis to gas people, and you hardly notice it. In fact, when people smoke cigarettes, they often breathe lethal concentrations of carbon monoxide, but it's a rather pleasant experience. It doesn't have any violent reaction in the body. But cyanide is very different. Once you start breathing significant concentrations of cyanide, the body reacts against you. You go into convulsions. You just couldn't inhale the stuff anymore, even if you wanted to. Your body is telling everything in your body to try to reject this strange gas that's coming into your lungs. So the gas chamber claims, particularly with cyanide, really are absolutely insane. They're not just wrong, they're not just ridiculous, they're absolutely insane. Cyclone B releases cyanide, but slowly. It was made to release cyanide gas slowly in order to allow pesticide specialists to handle the stuff safely, okay? And most of the pesticide specialists who handled Zyklon B for various fumigation operations didn't even wear gas masks when they did this kind of work. They would recognize the presence of the cyanide from the almond-like odor, and that would be a sign to get the hell out of there and get some fresh air in their system. But they generally did not even wear gas masks because cyanide comes out of Zyklon B very, very, very slowly. You would need something, if you wanted to use Zyklon B for a gas chamber, you would need something like fresh air from a blower and a warm air blower to force the cyanide out of the granules. Okay, but nothing like that has ever been suggested or alleged in connection with these alleged gas chambers at Auschwitz.
And also, there were, what'd they say, like 200 people, and it was in quite a large room. And a gas chamber here in the United States was designed for one person, where the gas would be more concentrated in a particular, a smaller area. And so the whole idea of all these people responding in the exact same way and everybody being dead in what some say is 5 minutes, and then, you know, the commandos going in and, you know, dragging the bodies out. I mean, if you think about it, if you use your critical thinking, it just is not reasonable to believe.
Right. The people who made those claims were simply lying their heads off. Rudolf Virba was one in particular who claimed that 2,000 people were killed in 3 minutes. That was in his Virba-Wetzler report, which was circulated in 1944 and was the basis of all these claims that the Germans were committing mass murder in gas chambers. Now, if we can, let's try to say a little bit about diesel exhaust. Most of the alleged gassings of Jews were not with Zyklon B at all. Most of them were supposedly done with the exhaust from diesel engines in places like Treblinka and Belzec and Sobibor and in the so-called gas vans that the Germans supposedly used in Russia. There it was diesel exhaust again and again and again. John Demyanyuk, this Ukrainian worker who was hounded for years and jailed and prosecuted and sentenced to death by hanging by the Israelis. He was the guy who supposedly operated the diesel engine in Treblinka, which supposedly killed 800,000 Jews. Now, the story is absolute rubbish. It's a monumental lie. It's as stupid as anything imaginable. Now, many people, including some of the people who've called in on your show with me before, have trouble realizing that diesel exhaust is rather harmless. It's not totally harmless, but even though it smells terrible, it's quite harmless. And we have good evidence for...
Fritz, hold that thought. We do have to take a 3-minute break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Our guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is NaziGassings.com, and you were talking about diesel, that it is really not dangerous.
Well, generally, it's not. That's true. That's my point. I thought I would liven up this program a little bit by introducing this subject, because many people falsely believe that diesel exhaust must be very, very dangerous. And that was why the diesel story started to begin with. It sounded like a good piece of credible propaganda, and it worked for a long, long time. Today, however, even so-called Holocaust scholars recognize just how absurd the diesel claim is, at least in Germany. There's one fellow named Achim Trunk, who seems to recognize that I was right, but he doesn't give me any credit for that. He uses some of my arguments against the diesel gas chamber claim, but gives no mention of my work or any of the things I've written on the subject. Now, we had, in your first show, a farmer call in, and he was completely convinced, and he made it very clear with his emotions that I must be completely wrong and I have no idea what I was talking about, blah, blah, blah. Well, I do know what I'm talking about, and he was completely wrong. Diesel exhaust smells terrible. It's extremely annoying. But the irritation and the
annoyance of the smell has absolutely nothing to do with the toxicity. Carbon monoxide, which is the lethal ingredient in diesel exhaust and gasoline engine exhaust, is completely odorless. We could have a room completely filled with carbon monoxide, and we might walk in there and not realize that we're in any danger at all because the smell would be nil. But diesel exhaust does smell because of other ingredients, which are definitely annoying, but not really very harmful at all. It may turn out sometime in the future that diesel exhaust is connected with cancer. It may well be true that diesel exhaust is extremely dangerous because of that, but the proof is still lacking. In any event, for short-term exposures, diesel exhaust is quite harmless, and that's why diesel engines are used in submarines and in many locations such as underground mines where gasoline engine exhaust would definitely kill lots of people.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, of course, is that why would they divert all of these resources to killing the workers who were actually helping the war efforts by working in the factories? Why would they divert all of these resources that they also desperately needed to execute a war to killing? I mean, it doesn't make sense. They're going to kill the workers that are producing the ammunition, and they're going to use the resource that they desperately need to kill these workers.
Right, right.
It does not make sense.
It's absurd in countless ways. There is a new variation of the Holocaust hoax emerging, and we see that represented quite well by characters like Mark Weber and even Tom Dalton, who now claim that the mass killing occurred in the transportation process, merely transporting Jews from Central Europe and Poland to the East killed huge, huge numbers of Jews, and that this was somehow deliberate and therefore criminal and something for which the Germans and Nazis in particular should be eternally condemned. Well, those claims are absolute rubbish also. You know, the idea of shipping people on trains hundreds of miles in wartime merely to kill them through the unpleasantness of the ride itself is ridiculous. Railroads were vitally important to the German war effort. Railroad trains and cars, railroad cars on the way to the east were absolutely critical to the German war effort. Merely to give Jews a ride and kill them in the process of the unpleasantness of the ride makes absolutely no sense at all. But that shows, that story from Mark Weber and others, even David Irving, I suppose, merely shows how desperate these Holocaust believers are to hold on to something. And it's really quite shameful. People like Mark Weber should resign from the IHR. He abandoned the Holocaust hoax a long time ago. He fell for the propaganda, or pretends to go along with the propaganda today. He should resign from the IHR. Anyway, we're getting a little away from the evidence about gassings and so forth. There's one essay in particular in the Journal of Forensic Science, a very credible journal for forensic science, from September 2008. And the title is Diesel Fumes Do Kill. And it would seem from that title to be an essay which refutes what I'm saying. In reality, though, when one reads the essay, it supports my position completely. The title should be written differently. It should say, diesel fumes do kill, but only very, very rarely. I've never claimed that diesel fumes can never kill anybody, but it's extremely rare because the concentrations of carbon monoxide are almost nil. They're very, very low, barely traceable. Most carbon monoxide meters at auto inspection stations in the United States cannot even measure the levels of carbon monoxide in diesel exhaust. I know this because I've been driving diesel Volkswagens for almost 20 years now, and whenever I've gone to have my car inspected, they simply could not measure any of the carbon monoxide levels in the exhaust for my diesel Volkswagens. And the same applies to diesels from the World War II period or any other period, because of the inherent chemistry in diesel exhaust and diesel combustion.
Weren't they also using wood fire, contraptions in trucks in order to run their trucks? Because they didn't have the fuel that they needed, so why would they waste all of this fuel, which would be a very ineffective way of killing anybody?
Absolutely.
Why would they waste all this fuel on doing something like that, on killing people?
That's another argument against the diesel gas chamber story. In fact, in 1943, and I'm trying to recall the exact month, the order came out from the highest levels of the Nazi regime that all trucks that had been running on diesel exhaust or diesel fumes or diesel fuel had to convert over to spark ignition. And this was an enormously expensive alteration on existing trucks, but it was the decree from, I suspect it was, from the very highest levels, and meant in effect that every diesel truck operating anywhere in Nazi Germany or German-occupied Europe had to be rebuilt with spark plugs and different compression ratios to allow gasoline to be used as the fuel instead of diesel fuel. There was such a desperate shortage of diesel fuel. Now, they needed the diesel fuel for submarines and naval vessels and probably other types of services where gasoline engines simply were too dangerous. So that shows how stupid these diesel gas chamber claims really are. It's absolutely insane and indefensible. I don't know if this fellow Muhlenkamp is going to be so stupid as to try to defend the diesel story, but he might, because it is still generally accepted as the way in which the vast majority, nearly 2 million Jews, were supposedly murdered by the Nazis, and the Gypsies and Poles and other people who were supposedly murdered in gas chambers. Most of them were supposedly murdered with diesel exhaust. It is insane.
You're fading away.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll try to yell into the phone here. I want you to hear me. I want everybody to hear me.
Certainly. And you know, if you just think about these things, the Germans are very, very efficient people. And if they were going to do this, they certainly would have created a much more efficient method than the ones that they are coming up with. And it seems to me that they keep coming up with different methods because the other ones are so transparent. People can see right through them.
In 1964, I started my first job working in New York City, just half a block from the site of the World Trade Center. I think I got this job because I also spoke German, and I spoke it my knowledge of German was not that great at that time. But my first job was on a chemical plant to manufacture poison gas. I don't know what gas was used in this plant, but the technology was essentially stolen technology from Germany at the end of World War II. The Germans had the deadliest gases imaginable at that time, sarin and tabun and possibly some other gases. They were very, very lethal, far more lethal than the cyanide from Zyklon B. Those gases have never been implicated in any of these gas chamber claims whatsoever. The Germans certainly knew how to build very effective gas chambers. They would never have done anything so stupid as what we are told they did. The Germans could have, for example, killed people in large railroad fumigation gas chambers, which actually existed throughout Poland and Eastern Europe. These gas chambers used Zyklon B also, but they used it to fumigate entire railroad trains, several railroad cars at a time. These things would have worked so easily. The technology was right there on the tracks of many of the major railroad stations, including the one in Budapest, and that technology would definitely have worked. It would have saved a tremendous amount of movement of railroad cars hundreds of miles throughout war-occupied or war-ravaged Europe, and yet that technology is not even alleged anywhere.
Now, you said that they had the seraphim and other gases that were very, very, very lethal. Why did they develop those?
Well, they thought World War II might very well become a gas war as well. World War One had used gas in the trenches
mustard gas, yes.
And the Germans in World War II actually had huge stockpiles of artillery shells equipped with poison gas. Poison gas might have worked very effectively to repel the Americans and British troops at the Normandy invasion. That would have been an ideal location for using poison gas. But they didn't do that because at the highest levels, I'm sure, Hitler made a decision not to use poison gas until the Allies used it first. If the Allies had used poison gas somewhere, the Germans would have had no choice but to respond. And naturally enough, they would have used the most deadly gas they could have come up with. But no time did they do that.
Now, you said that they built gas chambers. Did they have a capital punishment policy?
Did they have a what?
Capital punishment. Did they?
Well, they did have capital punishment, but they didn't use gas chambers for capital punishment. They used hanging. They used decapitation. Used shootings for capital punishment.
So gas chambers weren't a part of their experience or a part of their policies in a domestic sense.
Right. Never occurred.
However, gas chambers and those kinds of executions were a domestic policy for the Americans.
Yes, absolutely.
And was it also domestic policy in Great Britain? Or not Great Britain.
No.
Britain.
The United, the British Empire.
Britain.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. People generally apply to others what they know and what they themselves use. You know, it's kind of like projection.
Right.
And so you can kind of see where they came up with this mentality.
Right.
And because the Germans were using Cyclone B to protect the prisoners and the factory workers from lice that would have given them typhus, and they wanted to protect the guard. They wanted to protect everybody, so they used Cyclone B in very small containers for where they could fumigate clothes and that sort of thing, and so they had to the Americans, the Allies had to apply what was there. To their story, instead of being a little bit more reasonable and saying, well, they used, the seraphim gas,
right.
Correct?
Right. And, people in Auschwitz knew there were gas chambers. Maybe some of them actually believed they were killing people, but the reality, which was easy enough to verify, was that these gas chambers were only being used to fumigate clothing. There was no great secret about that at all. The delousing stations, and there were two of them in Birkenau, right across from the loading or unloading platform, those gas chambers and the buildings are still there today. And those the parts of those buildings which actually house the gas chambers are easily recognizable by the intense blue staining on the interior walls and even on the exterior walls of those gas chamber housing parts of these buildings. And for me, that was the most stunning and most dramatic refutation of the Holocaust gassing claims that I had ever imagined. The blue coloring was extremely intense. Prussian blue is essentially the same.
Fritz, you're fading on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'll try to yell into the phone. Maybe that'll help. How's this? Is that working better? It's still bad.
Yeah.
Well, we can work on that for the next show. I'll try to keep yelling into the phone here.
Okay, you're better. I don't know what was going on, but we do need to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Now you're good. I don't know what you're doing.
Well,
we'll check it out. All righty. Be back in 3.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is NaziGassings.com. All righty. Say something.
Well, I hope we can improve.
You sound wonderful. It sounds great.
Okay. I hope the audio improves. I'm going to try extra hard to keep the receiver from my telephone right next to my mouth.
Okay.
I hope that works. I hope we get some good calls from your listeners. We had some good calls the last time, and I really enjoyed especially the last caller.
Well, we have a very wonderful group of listeners. The RBN audience is very astute, and they ask some very, very profound questions, and they're pretty smart. You can't pull the wool over their eyes.
Great.
So, all righty, we will take calls after the first break in the next hour at 800-313-9443. Now, have you investigated some of the other ramifications, some of the other claims that people make? You know, often after a program on the Holocaust, I always get mail from people who just simply will not look at any of the scientific evidence. They insist that they know that the Holocaust was true, and then they send me YouTube videos proving it, or attempting to prove it. And you know, I'll go and I'll look at these videos, and there are so many holes in the videos. There's so many false statements. So many, you know, it I can see straight through it, and yet these videos are accepted. People accept these videos as truth, because just because somebody puts something on YouTube or just because somebody writes something in a book does not mean that it's true. Books are filled with false claims, with false ideas, and it's up to the listener, it's up to the reader or the person who is viewing a video to use their critical thinking and not to ask others. I don't know, what do you think? You think this is true or you think that is true?
Well, I agree, and that's why the scientific arguments against the hoax are enormously important. If you rely just on so-called or self-described eyewitnesses, you will get basically this bogus Holocaust story that we've all had to endure. But when you look for forensic evidence or autopsies to show that even one person was ever killed with poison gas by the Germans, you get nothing. Thousands of autopsies were made to try to find at least one case of a person who was killed with poison gas by the Germans, and the result is zero, nothing. Not once has anyone ever produced an autopsy showing that this or that body found here in Bergen-Belsen or Dachau was of someone killed with poison gas. There are no photographs even of people who one can say these are pictures of people killed with poison gas. There are no such photographs even. But the public is very carefully deluded with the overall propaganda into believing that they are seeing bodies of people killed with poison gas.
Right. All righty. We do have to take our 60-second top-of-the-hour break. We'll be right back after station ID.